from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market report for the first day of February 2022. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Gary Schnitke will be here to discuss the risk involved with the crop insurance decisions, mostly about how to handle pricing crops, corn and soybeans, going into this season for the 2022 crops. And then we'll turn our attention again to carbon markets and hear from Sarah Sellers. She joined us yesterday just for a bit with some advice for producers. Today we'll talk about the research she's been doing here on the Urbana-Champaign campus in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. Then as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast, not only with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, but also with Nutrien Ag Solutions' Andrew Pritchard. He'll help us define what's going to happen over the next 2 days in our part of the world as it's related to this big winter system. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, March corn today settled at $6.34¾. That was up 8¾. The May at $6.33¾, 9¼ higher. In December futures at $5.77¾, up 4¼ cents. March soybeans a 38-cent gain, $15.28½ the settlement price. May at $15.34¼, up 39. And November beans at $13.82, 15 cents higher. The bean meal futures at $436 a ton, up $17.10. Bean oil at $65.83, a dollar and a penny higher. Wheat futures soft red up 7¾ at $7.69, and the hard red at $7.86¼, 5 cents higher, both of those in the March contracts. A quick look at some of the outside markets, including the livestock, where cattle were at $145.37½, 85 cents higher. Feeders at $163.70, 67½ cents higher, and lean hogs at $97.67½ per 100 pounds, $1.97½ higher. Crude oil futures at $87.90, down 18 cents, and the wholesale price of gasoline at $2.56⅛ per gallon. Wayne Nelson is with us from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, to discuss the marketplace. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for being with us. I'd call it a turnaround Tuesday, but it's just another up day.
It's quite an exciting day and a lot of things going on out here that we just don't, we're not quite sure what we're, you know, can think about a lot of things, Todd. It's just been a very crazy day. A lot of news things popping up, talks about big purchases, right after the reopen or on the reopen, the weather forecast for South America, the weather forecast for the central U.S., all those things factoring into today's markets.
Yeah. So what should producers make of this upward movement in that case?
Well, I think that the market is telling us that South American crops are continuing to fall, that the world stocks are going down right now. Because of that, and we're going to have to switch over where some are going to buy some of their crops possibly in the future, hopefully driving some business to the U.S. out of this. And, as far as the unrest in Russia and what's going on with Russia and Ukraine, that's a big question mark out there like that. And what's going on in inflation, what our dollar is going to do, has got a lot to go on with it, too. So you can tell that it's a very, very nervous market when you look at an at-the-money put and it's worth over just about 90 cents in beans here like that. So it's telling you they're very scared with this market will hold, but they're also very scared if you go look at calls, and they're on that, have that sort of premium to it at the money. So, you know, a lot of craziness going on people just not knowing what to think about this market. We've got awful high-priced land now, valuations to figure on in. We've got awful expensive seed corn. We got very expensive fertilizer to figure in. There isn't quite as much left as what you'd think with the kind of prices we're looking at. When you're looking at over $6 corn or close to $6 corn and $14 beans for fall, why it's just awful hard to think that you wouldn't be making more money than what it is when you figure everything out.
You know, as I was looking at this morning's marketplace, some of the news was how far along South American bean harvest is in Brazil. They're about a third of the way through in Mato Grosso, way ahead of schedule. Surprised me, I think, a little bit because they should have had rainfall. Drought areas being early doesn't surprise me, but Mato Grosso is running a bit early as well. I take it that yields just aren't up to par at this point, and par would be of a drought-stricken or a rain-soaked area, and that the market is really shaken by that.
Yeah, Mato Grosso is about 32% cut was what we saw in the news wires this morning, Todd. But the early yields are tracking at or below expectations. The recent rains they missed down there and the heavy producing Rio Grande do Sul and Paraná, there's a weekend rains are expected. There's no indication of the trucker strike yet, but with fuel prices soaring, they like to take a strike and get their money back for increases on that too. So, you know, it just seems really a little bit crazy. They're pegging the crop down there somewhere in the 133 to 135. The USDA in the last report was at 139. So we are seeing quite a bit. You know, Ag Rural stuck out there and indications yesterday what they thought they were. And there's a couple others that have stuck their things out too. So, and everybody is continuing to drop the Brazil, the Argentine, and the Paraguay crop and stuff along the way. So Argentina, they're pegging their crop at 42. We're at 46 and a half. The corn at 51. The USDA last report was 54. So, you know, 35% of that crop area is still very dry and needs weekly rains to just hold where we're at. And only 38% of the soy in that area, in the Argentine area was rated good. So, and only 30%, corn rating was 32%. So, you know, we're not looking at real good ratings and everything for down that area, and it looks like that one's going. We did see some very large buying right after the we reopened this morning in the bean market, and we did see a little bit of Chinese buying that we didn't really expect because they're still part of their Lunar New Year. So we did see a little bit of Chinese buying of some cash this morning.
It appears Ukraine-Russia issue is beginning to settle down a little bit. I'm wondering what that means for the commodity markets, if that's what the commodity markets are actually trading, and possibly what it means for crude oil.
Well, I think if we could settle that down and they would move their troops back away from the border, would help them. Well, it would drop prices in crude oil and probably in the grains also, because we're thinking that we have, you know, wheat was able to be up with the idea that we weren't going to ship wheat out of Ukraine and Russia, two big exporters there, bringing back in the rest of the world's wheat market to be tight. You know, Russia said they had no intentions of invading, but whoever tells anybody they're going to attack 2 weeks ahead of time, that's sort of a question mark out there. But the UN meeting yesterday, they said they had no intentions, but we don't hold that very soundly. But we do know that's a big problem in that part of the world, and I'm glad I'm not in the Ukraine right now.
Hey, thank you. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Gary Schnittke, agricultural economist from the U of I, to discuss his latest penning. Each and every Tuesday, he posts something new, or most Tuesdays, to the FarmDoc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. This one's about crop insurance decisions and the risks that are involved in 2022. Thank you, Gary, for being with us. Tell me a little bit about the article.
Yeah, so this year we will likely have very high projected prices. If you're looking at futures prices today, you would be saying $5.70 for corn, $13.50 for soybeans, which are very much above where they were recently. But with the rising cost, even at 85% RP levels, we will still likely have losses if we're kicking in crop insurance this year.
Can you detail some of those and maybe start with corn?
Yeah, so corn, we have a $5.70 projected price, and we're going to look at this from a cash basis. So we subtracted off a 30-cent basis and looked at a person with a 220 bushel trend-adjusted APH. They will have, in cash terms, $1,010 worth of coverage. However, there are $1,060 worth of cost, and that would be our non-land cost, $755, and cash rent of $305. Obviously, we can see a lot of higher cash rents than that, but that totals 1,060. So at that level, we're looking at a $50 loss per acre. Obviously, that crop insurance policy provides a stopgap measure, but even at that 85% level, we will have not covered all our costs, and we will have very low to negative incomes for that year.
And for soybeans, what do you find?
So soybeans, we're looking at a $13.50 projected price. Again, we looked at a 30-cent basis, and we you're using a 70-bushel trend-adjusted APH yield. Soybeans have $777 of total cost per acre. If we take an 85% coverage level, our cash guarantee is $785, and we have an $8 revenue in that position. So we do cover our cost, but we still would have very low income. So, you know, those 85% coverage levels are what most people have taken in the past. And even given these high projected prices, we have so much higher cost that we will still be looking at very low incomes, even at that 85% coverage level.
Last week, you wrote about the ARC PLC decision. If I remember correctly, you don't expect payments from either side, so that commodity title probably won't help either.
No, commodity title, you can make whatever choice you have. If either one of them pays in 2022, you're having a very bad year. But you know, at an 85% RP coverage level, those prices and yields would not be even close to making a payments on the commodity title. Remember, we've had so much higher cost added. And then, you know, where prices are higher, but still we have so much higher costs that the coverage offered by commodity titles are very, very low relative to the cost that we're incurring out there these days.
Do you have suggestions?
So my suggestion would be to continue to take an RP policy at a very high level for Central Illinois, 80 to 85%. I would also suggest looking at ECO, SCO, or some buy-up product by the crop insurance companies, a private add-on. Those would offer additional risk protection. I would say if you're going to do that, look at the premium for those add-ons and compare it to the net returns in the situation where you don't get paid, and see how much profit those premiums will take. And those premiums can get very costly. Finally, I would suggest pricing more grain than usual. At this time of year, we typically see farmers in the sort of 20% of expected production range for corn. You might be 10% higher than that now. Again, I would not be hedging at all, because if we do have yield shortfalls this year, we could have much higher prices. So there's always that risk. If you hedged at all, that would be a risk. But still hedge a bit more than usual, because we do have profitable prices now.
Hey, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Gary Schnitke is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He's been working with PhD candidate Sarah Sellers over the past couple of years, certainly over the last year, to take a look at carbon markets. We heard from Sarah yesterday about some of the advice she has for farmers related to carbon markets. However, I thought it might be interesting to hear a bit more from her today related to the research she's been doing with Gary Schnitke. I asked her to tell me about it.
So right now we've been working on compiling some extension information and putting together some materials to help farmers navigate carbon markets and decide whether they even want to enter the carbon market. So we have two Farmed Out Daily articles, What Questions Should Farmers Ask About Carbon Credits and Growing Climate Solutions Act Impact on Farmers. We have a YouTube playlist on carbon markets that's on the Farm Doc Daily YouTube channel. We have an extension presentation we've been giving. And we also did a Farm Doc webinar not too long ago on carbon markets. So that's a little bit about what we've been working on. And things have changed a lot since we've been working on this extension project too. So it's really interesting to see how all of this carbon market stuff is kind of evolving.
Do you have an assessment of upcoming trends and maybe some of the impacts?
So one thing we've been keeping a really close eye on is the policy side of things, because I think this has potential to really impact the carbon markets. So there's been a lot of questions around, will the USDA get involved? What would that involvement look like? There's a growing Climate Solutions Act, which passed through the Senate, but it's still in the House. So I think if that ends up getting passed, it could have a big effect on what happens with the carbon markets. I think price is a big thing to keep an eye on and something a lot of people are talking about. I mean, it's important, especially from the farmer side of things. But I think there's some expectation from the company side that the price is going to go up. So, for example, Indigo, their prices in 2020, they were guaranteeing a minimum of $10 per carbon credit. In 2021, they were guaranteeing a minimum of $15 per credit. And now they're projecting that to go up to 30. And then Corteva, they also have a chart on their website that kind of projects what they think carbon credit payments are going to do in the future, all the way up to 2030. So I think it's really interesting. I think that's one thing to keep an eye on is what is the expectation out there that these companies think is going to happen. That doesn't necessarily mean that I think the price is going up or that I'm promoting that, but I think kind of the expectation and the feel in the market is maybe that the price is going to keep going up.
Those are per acre prices?
Per carbon credit.
Mm-hmm. Per carbon credit. How are those calculated?
No, that's an interesting question. I was out at a sustainable agriculture conference in fall in Las Vegas, and somebody asked, there was a lot of these companies there and giving presentations, and someone asked, how did you come up with this price? And because there's no market and no price discovery, I think it's really hard to kind of arrive at a price. So what they kind of suggested at that conference, that it was kind of just something they put out there, and then competition between the companies is kind of what's been driving the price up. So I think it's a little bit challenging without the price discovery process to know even what is the price of an agricultural carbon credit, the true price.
Are there questions you're asked frequently by farmers when you're out at meetings?
Yeah, so there's a lot of good questions farmers have been asking. I've heard a lot from both, a lot of different perspectives from farmers. So that's been something really interesting to hear. I think the biggest question people ask is how much will I be paid? Because that can kind of depend too on the program, on if there's any fees or withholding and what that exact price is. There are some companies that were offering sign-on bonuses at one point. So that price you can get paid can kind of vary a little bit from company to company. A big question a lot of farmers have been asking is, what if I've already been doing these practices on my farm for years? So there's a lot of variation between the contracts on what you can and can't do. So some companies will let you go back 10 years. Other companies say you had to have adopted the practice more recently. So I think there's a lot of frustration out there from some farmers because they've been doing these practices. They've been doing no-till, for years, and now they're not eligible for some of these programs. And so I think that's really been a big question, a big point of discussion. Questions about, do I need a software subscription to participate? Because this could be a significant cost to participating in the program. Questions about, what if the price of carbon credits goes up? Because not all programs will protect that upside potential of that price. There's been a lot of debate about who gets the carbon credit, the farmer or the landowner, if you're renting the land. So and I know some programs, they require an attestation of right to sell carbon. And I've heard that other programs, they have a box on their contract that says check here if you received your landlord's permission. So I think there's a lot of variation out there in the contracts.
Sarah Sellers is a third-year PhD student in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. She's been working through carbon credits with her advisor, Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. You may find more from her on the FarmDoc Daily website. Search her out as one of the authors or look up carbon credits. Let's check the weather forecast now. Don Day is traveling. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, but left us this weather forecast update.
Winter weather certainly has been making headlines recently over the central and eastern areas of the United States over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and we're about ready to do it again. An Arctic wave dropping out of western Canada will bring snow and very cold temperatures to parts of the northern and central Rockies, even the southern Rockies. Then an area of ice, snow, and rain is going to break out on an axis that will go from the southwest to the northeast, from eastern Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas, through Missouri, through Illinois, Indiana, the Ohio Valley, then all the way up into eastern Great Lakes and back up into New England again. There is going to be some significant snow, heavy snows, on the northern fringe of this area. This would go from eastern Kansas, Oklahoma, and northeast Texas, through Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, southern Michigan, and then there's going to be a significant icing event that will be developing on the southern edge of that precipitation band across portions of the southern plains and parts of the south central and southeastern United States. Now, there's one silver lining in all this winter weather. Some of the wheat country in Kansas, Oklahoma, the Texas Panhandle, eastern Colorado, those areas for the second week in a row will get measurable precipitation, and that will help out those areas. We do see some moderation in the cold winter weather by the weekend and early next week.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming on this Tuesday going into that Wednesday, Thursday, early Friday event as it relates to the winter weather and the blizzard. I thought it might be important in the Champaign County and the East Central and Central Illinois area that you get an update as to what conditions will be like. Andrew Pritchard, who is with Nutrien Ag Solutions, traveling today too. He's in Carthage, Illinois, left a message for us related to the winter weather. We'll be seeing locally.
A long-duration, high-impact winter storm is expected to deliver significant snowfall to central Illinois midweek. Precipitation will begin as rain on Tuesday afternoon, transitioning to a wintry mix as temperatures fall below freezing Tuesday night. Snow will begin to accumulate on Wednesday morning and then continue into the day on Thursday. Significant snow accumulation of around 1 foot is possible by Thursday evening, with locally higher amounts possible. Wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour will create blowing and drifting snow Wednesday night and Thursday as well. Travel will be very difficult to impossible across all of central Illinois on Wednesday and Thursday, with some roads likely still snow or ice covered into the weekend.
Thanks to Andrew Pritchard for that update of the weather forecast. You've been listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.